May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It is with great joy that we've come to this Easter day. And for me, it's an enormous pleasure to be able to stand here among you, the people of St. Peter's, having shared with you this fulfilment of the Christian year. And it is for me and for Rachel and for our family the first, I hope, of many joyful Easters here among you. We have had a very busy and very, very moving Holy Week, and we are now ready for this great celebration of the love of God, which death could not contain, and the life of God, which darkness could not destroy. Today's readings are profound and life-changing. Life-changing for me and for you and for our world. And the power of their message is the same power that raised Jesus our Lord from death. In the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, our beloved St. Peter, who had denied Jesus on the night before his crucifixion, says this: God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Anyone. The saving love which Christ revealed through the cross and resurrection says that God does not accept the human boundaries of nationhood or of class, of gender or of sexuality, of race, of caste, language, religion, or any other marker of difference which can become a weapon of prejudice or injustice. God shows no partiality. My home team is not better than your home team, because anyone who fears God and does what is right is acceptable to God. And what is right is that we live in love so that God lives in us. What an amazing passage that is. It doesn't matter what we did in the past. It doesn't matter for us, and it didn't matter for Peter. It doesn't matter how many piercings I might want on my face, or what we earn or what we owe, whether we are married, no longer married, or what we do with our bodies or any aspect of ourselves which other people might use to reject us, so long as we live in love, which places us in Christ and therefore in the resurrection life of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says a truly profound thing. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. We have to check ourselves there to see what he really said. Indeed, he does say all will be made alive in Christ. Last week, during Holy Week, I had the wonderful chance to speak to the children of St. Peter's School. They were all here, the church was full, and some of the parents were here as well. And despite my rapidly increasing age, I still find it very difficult to think of how to explain the meaning of something as profound as Easter to children across such a wide age range, between 4 and 11, in a way which is both true and also comprehensible for them. Sometimes it's not comprehensible for me. How can I make it comprehensible for them? The night before the service, I didn't sleep, and I woke up on Wednesday with different ideas tripping through my mind about what I might say, and was undecided really until the last minute. It was such an important opportunity to say something to them about the meaning of Christian faith. And what our children learn at that age, what they hear, will stay with them for the rest of their lives and inform their lives and the choices they make, so long as what we can say is clear and in a way which makes sense true. But Christianity, of course, is complicated. It's many-sided, and often it's enigmatic. We have several different strands of meaning, different narratives which run through our faith, and Easter says important things about all of them. It's about forgiveness. It's also about resurrection and new life. It's also about healing, and it's about wholeness for us and for our tortured and crucified world. It's about reconciling human identity with the nature of God, and it's about our ultimate destiny. These and other frameworks of meaning are all overlaid in different ways in the Bible, and we see different facets of them as we reflect on the interaction of our own experience and our biblical and Christian tradition. St. Paul himself speaks about the Easter event in three very different and very important ways. He uses the language of the temple, perhaps for his Jewish hearers, with Christ described as both the sacrificial lamb and also the high priest who brings all sacrifice to an end in his own body. He also uses a very different image, the image of the law courts, perhaps for his Gentile hearers. And he says that Christ has paid the price for us, to redeem us, to buy us out of prison. But he also uses a third image. And I say the word image very deliberately because each of these is not the truth in itself, but rather language which points to the greater divine reality. And the third image is the image of incorporation into Christ. And it is, if you like, Paul's last word on the subject of Easter, the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. And so he says, as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. The death and resurrection of Christ makes him the second Adam, who undoes all that is wrong, all that is broken, all that is failed, all that is corrupted, raising it up to the life of God. In Christ, a phrase which Paul uses over and over again, we share in the life of God's eternity. In Christ, we share in God's divine favour, his glorious light. And this is summed up in the phrase which I ended up telling our children. First, I said to them that, of course, betrayal and failure and even death are not the end, that God brought life out of death. And then I told them that Christ shared our life and shared our death so that we could share his resurrection and the eternal life of God in Christ. All the resurrection readings in the Gospel are profound, but I was particularly pleased that we are reading St. John's account this morning. The story of Mary Magdalene's encounter with the risen Christ is really beautiful. She was the first to meet him alive again, and the first one of his followers sent out to announce his resurrection. The text is a great encouragement to all of us when we stumble through the darkness, in pain and in loss, in grief and in confusion. For she comes face to face with her dear friend, alive again, and could almost burst for the joy of that meeting. Of course, it's also profoundly important for those of us who believe that the church includes all who love God and that women and men are equal before God. Jesus was allowed to choose whoever he wanted to meet for that first time on Easter Sunday morning. And he chose to meet a woman called Mary, one of his friends. Jesus chose her to be the first to receive the message of resurrection life, and he also chose her to be the first apostle, as the word apostle means sent out, and she was the first person he sent to announce his resurrection to his friends, to his followers, to his disciples. we all encounter the risen Christ in church, in holy bread and wine, on the street, in moments of joy, in the kindness of strangers, in forgiveness or in healing, in our experience of love, which transforms us with its warmth and with its tenderness. We have encountered the suffering and dying Christ too, in our own lives and in the lives of others who we know and love, or whose sorrows and pains we read of. And we will all pass through physical death and find ourselves still with him. We have all been included in Christ, sealed in him, and in Christ made part of that eternal life of God. Whoever we are, wherever we are from, whatever we have done, and whatever has been done to us, Christ meets us. Christ welcomes us. Christ makes us part of his own life and the life of God's eternity. Where will that encounter lead to for us? How will we respond today to that meeting and to the call of Christ on our lives? In Christ we have been given every gift and every treasure. The love and joy and life of the whole universe is ours, for Christ is risen. Let us worship him in lives of thankfulness, compassion and service. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.